Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are locked and loaded today. We've got Bob Chapman joining us. Hadn't been on with us in 2 weeks to break down all the huge economic and geopolitical developments. Always one of our favorite analysts. We've got Gerald Celente joining us today as well. So we have a big transmission lined up for you on this Friday, the 13th, 2012 transmission. Up on the Drudge Report, you can see Brandon Tuberville's excellent article from Infowars.com. Cashless society. India implements first biometric ID program for all of its 1.2 billion residents. We're going to be going over some of that today. We've got incredible U.S. news, world news, financial news. But it is Friday, and I've pledged in the new year to get to more of your phone calls. And I tell you, I've been taking a lot more. We've been kind of actually getting towards our goal a little bit, which is hard for me to do. I tend to get kind of set in my ways. I listened to my show from like 14 years ago, and I pretty much just took calls. And pretty entertaining, pretty informative. I mean, our goal is not to be entertaining, but reality is entertaining. Nothing like reality. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. We're going to open the phones up right now, 800-259-9231. And we've got a lot of key news here today. South Carolina, Ron Paul surges past Santorum into top tier. Neocon choice, Mitt Romney by Kurt Nemo. And I do think it's a conflict of interest that Bain Capital is the majority owner of Clear Channel. And I don't hear Limbaugh or others criticizing Mitt Romney when they normally would. I mean, he's for abortion, carbon taxes, open borders, wrote Obamacare. And people send me emails saying, oh, well, he's against abortion now. Well, yet now he says he is, but when it comes to actually votes and support, he wasn't. And I hear, well, he's against open borders now. That's a ruse to get the conservative vote. He's just like all the other mainline rhinos. He's for open borders, just like Newt Gingrich. And now Rick Perry's being attacked by Sean Hannity, Limbaugh, and others. We have an article out about it today. I don't like Rick Perry. Let's get that straight. He's a globalist, too. Calling him, in fact, I have the clip up on InfoWars. Limbaugh's calling Rick Perry like Fidel Castro. He's a commie now for criticizing Bain Capital. See, you can't ever criticize hedge funds and corrupt things they do because that's free market. Oh, really, getting big banker bailouts like Goldman Sachs and others did? That's capitalism? You never hear these neocon talk show hosts explain there's crony capitalism that is the antithesis of a true free market society. And it's that juncture of government with that that's causing the destruction of our society. And it's the mega banks that always launder and even administer the welfare systems and the phone banks and the rest of it to get the general welfare class on chicken feed to make them dependent. So they can always sick the giant massive, you know, 100 million or more welfare recipients on those of us that work. It's real simple. The ultra-rich with a bunch of paid-off, just like the Romans did 2,000-plus years ago. They had most of the city of Rome on the dole. A few little Roman silver pieces a month for every head of the household and as much bread as you can eat. And nobody's going to rebel against the government. And by the end of the Roman Empire, they would even, first they made the poor people, then the wealthy, then the ultra-rich. You had to make your wives and daughters be whores at temples so that they could pay more taxes. There was never enough taxes. By the way, I saw two articles. I saw one in Der Spiegel and Reuters last week. And I meant to cover this at the time, and I didn't. Guys, type into the search engine. People won't believe that. Woman ordered to take job as prostitute or lose unemployment payments in Germany. So we're right back to Rome. All right, it's all coming up today. I mean, you get in that whorehouse and service 10 men a day or you're not going to get paid your welfare check.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome, my friends, to another worldwide transmission in an attempt to wake up humanity to the perils of tyranny. We are going to be here for the next 3 hours, and I will be back live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. The websites are prisonplanet.tv, prisonplanet.com, and infowars.com. The one, the only, always informative, Gerald Celente, will be joining us coming up in the second hour today, and always our Friday guest, Bob Chapman, who wasn't with us last Friday, so he's got a lot to talk about. We've got world news. We've got the Middle East just ratcheting up towards World War III. The hot war expanding. Now the corporate dinosaur press is now admitting what we already knew. The war is already going on inside Iran. We got big news on the economy and a lot more today. And I do want to take your phone calls as well. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. On any issue, any news item, any question, any comment, disagree, agree, love me, hate me, it doesn't matter. We don't screen your calls. We just ask where you're calling from and what your name is. And if you want to volunteer how you're listening, that makes it interesting. Oh, shortwave. Oh, XM. Oh, AM, FM. Oh, internet. Roku, whatever the case is. And Robert, Chuck, Charles, Ezekiel, Pat, and others, we're going to get to you here in a moment, because I want to kind of shake the show up a bit and kind of go to calls early and then burrow into news. First, the National Defense Authorization Act, now the Enemy Expatriation Act. And we've been covering this for a few weeks, but I want to break down what the government's going to do. They're just going to say outside of a court, well, you're no longer a citizen, so we can disappear you into a black hole. But they've already got it on paper that they can kill citizens and disappear you into a spider hole, into a devil dungeon. So why are they doing this? Because they don't want to do that up front, even though they claim they have this illegal, unconstitutional power. They want to finagle it and give it some cheap packaging and cover, with some cheap camouflage that, well, we waved a magical wand, and so you're no longer a citizen and can be renditioned off to some torture center. So we're going to be breaking that down. Systematic silence about NDAA proves long plot to destroy America is real. Vindicating conspiracy theorist. We're going to be going over that report. Also, CNET News, a division of CBS Interactive, DHS X-ray scanners could cause cancer. Oh, but that's only for border crossers. Then you can't body scan them, but you will body scan the citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had radiologists, we've had scientists on for the last decade or so, breaking down that they have people at the U.S. border, at the north and the south, and now at domestic checkpoints inside the United States, who drive through these X-ray machines. Now, previous to this, a decade or so ago, they had you get out. They had the Border Patrol people and technicians behind armored plate, by armored, lead that blocks out the X-rays. They'd have the people get behind it with them in a holding room or off to the side, and then they would roll the car up over the conveyor belt and X-ray it. Well, just like prior to 1990, the military was not allowed to use depleted uranium weapons because they knew since the 50s it was deadly in the studies they'd done. They had the weapons in case nuclear war already broke out. Troops are fighting 10-to-1 superiority at the Folger Gap if the Russians rolled across into Germany during the Cold War. It was an emergency weapon in emergency armories. 1990 came around, they said, go ahead and use it. Just don't have the troops get close to tanks they've shot up with it. Not telling you that when you fire it out of a Abrams gun or out of a Marine Corps warrior vehicle or out of a Bradley fighting vehicle, that it's igniting in the barrel and that you're getting a deadly dose as well. Sure, it'll kill you 20 years later on average, a horrible death, kidneys failing, tumors everywhere, lung cancer, but so what? It's a gift from the New World Order. And it's the same thing here. Up until about a decade ago, the Border Patrol and others always got behind the race shielding. Not now. In fact, guys, now that I thought about this, I'm going to do an assignment on air, part of our Total Transparency program. Try to get me Watson, our star writer. We've already got a lot of Kurt's right there, Steve, Aaron, but Paul is the Grand Slam winner. I mean, he's the Triple Crown winner. Get me Watson online, please. Just dial. It seems like the number you call is his home, the way he doesn't answer. I call the cell. That's why I can always get him. If you want it, it's the first British number. You're just calling Skype, see if he answers that. Okay, I don't think that if he's not at his computer, he won't see that, but okay. But the point is we need to get Watson to write an article on this and get the Fox News piece out of New York and a CBS News piece we've got out of Florida and past articles we did where it shows the Army under TSA in all three newscasts with giant mobile x-rays having families drive under it. Not just people at the border. And the Army soldiers under TSA control, one of these is like 4 years old, the first one I saw out of New York, Fox News, standing under the radiation machine. Standing under the radiation machine. And of course, it's bad for the family. This is shooting through steel, through aluminum. And you can see the newscast where it shows people hidden in trunks and things or guns as an example. You can see their bodies. It's shooting through. A lot more powerful than something that shoots through your chest. You know how bad a chest x-ray is. But the real people being barbecued are the Border Patrol, are the TSA, are the military people. But I'm in Vegas a few months ago coming back from an interview with Jesse Ventura. And the guy goes, I know who you are. You're opting out. I'm going to have to grope you, basically. And I say, you know, that's deadly radiation. He says, no, it's not, Alex. They've given us the documents. It's 1/1,000,000,000th of a cell phone call. And I said, really, what are those measured in? That's a different type of wavelength. He goes, oh, whatever. You just believe what you want. He's like, John Hopkins says it's not bad. And I said, really? I saw that report a few months ago, earlier in the year. Did you know the head of John Hopkins Radiology came out and said that there never was a study done with Homeland Security and that the study they did do said it does cause cancer? And he goes, whatever. The other TSA guys were looking at me like kind of warily. So I give this big speech about how they're all being fried. And I told him, I'm going to sue you if you touch, even through the pants, my genitals. And he didn't do it. He said this stupid pat down. And obviously, he knew who I was, syndicated radio host, no criminal record. He's telling me he knows who I am. He goes through this. It's about 8 a.m. I've got about 3 hours sleep. And I'm wanting to get home to my family. And plus, I kind of wanted to go through the test. I was intending to sue him if they did. And intended to air the audio I was recording of it with the iPhone. But he didn't really, just did a light frisk. So I just said, okay, whatever. We all know this is going on. And, of course, they're still doing it to children. But the point is, what happened 22 years ago or so where they said DU's okay for the troops? What happened in the last decade where they just said, have the Border Patrol, have them all just stand there? I mean, before they drove the cars or 18-wheelers into a whole building, and they still have some of those. But they've now proliferated other checkpoints and units where it is a radiation spraying, super high powered x-ray machine. And by the way, I've seen the newscasts and videos and photos of this. The Border Patrol aren't even wearing radiation badges. Violates federal law. They're just all standing around with systems that shoot through a vehicle. Let me guess, he didn't answer on any numbers. Yeah, I'll do it right now. Watch this, because I've been like, it's no big deal. He has like three numbers, and I have the one that works, and I'm ready to give this to you, because it's like Groundhog Day, but I know everything's changing up here. Everybody's doing a great job, and we'll see. He answers about 98% of the time, okay? I just don't want to have a one-way conversation with him here. The point is, I get these hot ideas because now people will be ready to listen to this. Hey, Paul, how you doing, bro? You're listening to the show. Great. We're going to try to call you. Can you get by your computer? Can I bring you up real quick on Skype after the break real quick? Okay, fantastic. Just be by your Skype. Thanks a million. All right, here we go. Well, he's already heard my idea, so he's already listening. Yeah, I don't think in that database you even have his right number, because nobody can ever get him, and he's moved, you know, and I've got his number right here. Here, I'll just give it to you right now. Here you go. No, I'm just going to give you my phone right now. This is going to be a day-long remembered right now. Our databases is all scrambled. We're going to get all the numbers in one spot. Thank you. Great job. Okay. Now, the point is, we're talking about a life and death situation here. And so I want to explain to people, it's not just the border crossers that they have drive under giant high-powered X-ray machines that are so powerful when they flip the switch, you can actually hear it power up and beam and fry you. That's horrible for the people going through it, especially those that have to deliver back and forth on the border. But you know, I think about the day where I pull up at one of these checkpoints run by the Army. It violates posse comitatus. It violates the 10th Amendment, states' rights. It violates the 4th Amendment. And they are going to physically try to assault me. And I've driven through checkpoints 99 miles into the country. That's where they've got the one down in South Texas. And I've never left the U.S. They want to search my vehicle. They got big X-ray machines there. And I'm to stop them from trying to barbecue me and my family, I've got to stand up to the pack of hyenas. And again, I'm not saying the Border Patrol are bad themselves, but in their role, they're hyenas. And I've got to stand up to them and preach at them and be laughed at by them. Let me tell you something. When you're diagnosed with cancer, I know you're going to be pretty much dead, but at least you can go public to warn others. Every breath you take. You know, it upsets me. I mean, I get angry of thinking about the collective insanity of our society that we let the crazy control freaks that run our government let the troops use depleted uranium. That's a death sentence, and that we have to pay for as they degenerate and die. That they're setting up X-ray systems, not just at airports, but all over the country. That, in fact, I've seen news articles out now admitting they have helicopters and aircraft beaming with ground-penetrating radar looking through our houses. They've got mobile police units looking through our walls. They've got police with backpack units that look through your walls, blasting high-powered waves. And because the defense companies want to sell these products, they just have government wave a magic wand and say that it's okay. So what I want Paul Watson to do, because I know he's listening, who we do now have up, is, Paul, we need to explain and have some article that we're all being bathed and then speculate on why the system doesn't care, because the military-industrial complex makes money, whatever, with the DU. But I mean, mainly tie it in, though, with finally, you know, CBS News reporting, hey, these Border Patrol X-ray machines could be giving people that are going under them cancer. No kidding. What about the Border Patrol? And then that Fox News piece out of New York and other places where it shows the military out under TSA, you know, that we reported on like 4 years ago, showing the families drive under it. I mean, this is sheer madness, Paul. And I understand you're going to say, Alex, we've reported on this probably 50 times. I know, but now, once the great Lord CBS reports on it, now the sheeple, you can say, as CBS is now telling you, they've known about this for a long time, here's the full story. Because only after the reality controllers tell us something is it actually real. And see, now people will actually listen, now that they want the sheep to know this. Paul Watson, your take on this.
It was reported in Forbes magazine nearly a year ago that Homeland Security, as far back as 2006, had got plans to have these roving vans on which X-ray scanners were mounted, backscatter X-ray scanners, that would just randomly scan crowds of people at sports events and basically just on the highway and street corners. So the fact that they're using it at border checkpoints when they're already using it at truck stops on highways is par for the course, because it's already been announced.
And imagine, you pull up, they've got idiots that work there who have got death sentences, their gums are probably already bleeding from the radiation, their fast-growing cells are already probably, they're wondering why their teeth are falling out, and they're like, you gonna go in it with your family? That, no, I'm not. That's assault, you idiot. And just because you want to kill yourself doesn't mean you're going to kill my family, you moron scum. What do you say to them, Paul? Because they're setting the same stuff up in England right now.
Well, it's only the next stage. I mean, they've already got planned mobile interrogation booths where if you want to go into a expo or a sports event or any kind of public event, first, not only do you have to submit to the body scan, you also have to submit to an interrogation from a Homeland Security official to make sure you're not a terrorist. So if people think that, if I avoid flying, and then it becomes if I avoid getting a bus, if I avoid getting a train, if I avoid leaving my house, then maybe I can escape this. But you can't. It's taking over your whole life. And it needs to stop now. I mean, Europe's largely banned the certain type of X-ray body scanner because, even if they wanted to do this, there are body scanners which use a certain type of transmission. Sony uses them in their construction plants, which don't throw out harmful radiation. They're available, and yet they choose to use the ones that John Hopkins and other scientists, there's one quoted in this CNET report, said will cause cancer.
But what does the TSA do? When John Hopkins comes out and says it'll kill you, TSA takes their report and says it doesn't hurt you.
Oh, precisely. And then there was the leaked case out of one of the airports where they found a cluster of cancer cases from TSA screeners.
Paul, I want to give you the floor for 5 minutes since I roused you out of writing to break down the spectrum of this. Then I'm going to phone calls and all the other news. But this type of issue illustrates the collective lunacy and insanity going on. The TSA agents are all killing themselves.
When your country is being turned into a 21st century banana republic police state, silence isn't golden, it's yellow.
You are listening to Alex Jones broadcasting live from the front lines. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance! I'm here to tell you, my friends, that you need to shake yourselves out of your trance. Why has InfoWars been so effective? Why have we reached hundreds of millions of people and exponentially more every week? Because I'm a real person, just like you, and I'm angry, and it freaks me out to watch criminals on national news talk about how much they love the troops and how honorable they are, and then attach the heroic honor of the military, because regardless, they're facing danger, and many of them believe they're doing the right thing, attach that mantle onto these criminal, anti-American, globalist politician pimps, mercenaries. And then to talk to the troops in person and to watch the C-SPAN hearings 15, 16, 17 years ago with tens of thousands dying from DU poisoning and the VA trying to block it, and then learning that the local veterans groups won't help troops when they come back and are sick, so they just commit suicide. And to know there's 7 times the previous record of suicides. But no. If you're a patriot, you're supposed to just not talk about that. You're just supposed to tell the troops, go home and die. And now they're putting in body scanners everywhere and seeing the mobile trucks on the streets. And I've got videos from around the country. It's not getting news. It's local news. Local news of families in the middle of states, 100 miles from the border or more. Not even at Border Patrol checkpoints. National Guard under TSA with state police with submachine guns. And you pull up and the military standing there 5 feet from the big scanner wand sticking out from a truck with cars with families rolling under it. Listen, punk. You try to assault me and my family, I pull up to one of those checkpoints, I'm done. You're not going to hurt my children just because you're a moron, just because you follow orders. You know, if the government told you to stick your hand in a garbage disposal and flip the switch, would you do it? If the government told you to shoot yourself in the head, would you do it? If they told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? I mean, I am sane, okay? Those of you that go along with this system are insane. And I understand in a world of insane people that have been incrementally taught to go along with anything, a sane person, an angry person, sounds crazy. No, I'm as sane as the day is long. And I'm angry. And I don't like what's happening. You know, I've had those discussions with my family. I've had those discussions with my family. About whether, you know, do we leave the country or not? And I've said, we're staying. We're not going to give up the fight. And I'm watching V for Vendetta this morning. And it's got the scene where she's sitting there talking about, well, my mom wanted to leave the country, but my dad didn't. He said we didn't want to lose. They would win like it was a game. And then it shows them bust the door down and grab people. Guys, I wanted to play a clip from that today during the third hour. I don't know if we'll have time now to get it off the DVD because I forgot coming in. Will somebody run around and look on the tables out there, or maybe in my car, wherever my keys are at for V for Vendetta? I want the scene in there where they meet with V, and he's sitting there talking. And And they don't know it's V in disguise, and he's explaining to the police how the government released the bioweapon itself to create martial law and blame it on their enemies, and then also made profit from the drug that they'd already developed to treat it. That's what happened with the anthrax and the antibiotic they had, that the Cipro that came right out, that all the globalists made the money off of. It's just unbelievable how they operate. I mean, there's no end to these people. And we're going to face this as a society. And last night, I don't let my children watch mainline TV, but I let them watch stuff like Andy Griffin. We were watching one called Andy Griffin Discovers America, and it's this whole speech about 1776 and liberty and the Second Amendment. We were letting the children watch this at about 7 o'clock at night. My wife looked at me and she said, man, television's really changed. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got a new TV show coming out on primetime where the toddler uses the F word, which is supposed to be shocking and funny. It's about getting rid of any morals. And it's about the fun of degradating things, not the fun of learning knowledge. Okay, I'm going to your calls. I want to go back to Watson. Watson, you've got the floor for 5 minutes to go over the history of these naked body scanners and the rest of it. Then I'm going to come back and go to calls. But break down the proliferation of this without me interrupting.
Well, a recent article I wrote is the fact that these Viper teams, which is the TSA agents who will be conducting these border and highway scanning checkpoints, they've already got 25 of them. They've had 9,300 unannounced checkpoints over the course of 2011. The study that they did into them found that they thwarted no terrorist plots. They influenced no, you know, they had no influence on public safety, completely worthless. And yet Congress last month authorized another $24 million to create 12 new Viper checkpoint teams. So these 9,300 checkpoints manning these X-ray scanners are only going to increase in 2012, which is why they've expanded them out from the airport to bus stations, ferry terminals, train stations. We even had TSA people at a prom night. Remember that story? And of course, on the highway, so basically any public place whatsoever, even though the study has proven that You know, they don't even prevent a threat to public safety, never mind terrorism, so they're completely worthless. And then the ultimate goal, of course, is to have these roving body scanners, which British, Dutch authorities were talking about 4 or 5 years ago, where they could, in fact, install them on lampposts, street lights, which is very interesting considering the fact that IntelliStreets have come out with the new Orwellian street lights, which record conversations. They double as CCTV cameras, billboards for homeland security, fear-mongering announcements. So it's all geared towards putting these mobile naked body scanners either in street lights or on these roving vans which go around your street, go down the highways and just randomly scan crowds of people, completely against the Fourth Amendment, completely unsafe. All these top doctors have come out and said that it leads to an increase in cancer. And then when they do that, the TSA just comes back and says, no, John Hopkins said that there were no links to cancer whatsoever, even though they said the opposite. And then you've got Columbia University, University of California Interagency Committee on Radiation Safety, which is the premier radiation safety organization in the world. You've got MIT. You've got all these universities who come out and say, no, it's not safe, and it is going to lead to an increase in cancer. And then the TSA always comes back, DHS, and just says, no, they said that it's safe. So they just brazenly lie to the public time and time again. And now we've got this new story out of CNET, which is related to the borders. DHS X-ray scanners could be cancer risk to border crossers. So now it's going to be in that context, and it's unfolding out to every context of public life as the TSA becomes this occupying army. Now they've got the FPS, the Federal Bureau Protective Service, which is basically the DHS's occupying Gestapo force. They turned up at a Florida Social Security office just over a week ago and started checking people's IDs. These DHS goons armed with semi-automatic guns, while others, you know, drove around the block, cased the joint in DHS cars. So it's literally, I've called it an occupying force, and it just manifests itself in more of those precise ways as we go along.
But well, you know, it's martial law being rolled out incrementally until you're there, and it's all about setting the precedent to totally take over our society. And every movie you watch about an authoritarian society, or every documentary you watch about real authoritarian societies, this is it. They're not even trying to hide it. And they're a bunch of crooks that deal drugs and ship guns into Mexico and engage in every other crime you could imagine. There's no doubt we have a treasonous criminal group running the government.
And I mean, remember the story about they were talking about fitting people, passengers on aeroplanes, completely innocent travellers going on a vacation, with taser shock bracelets. So anytime some official in a position of authority got scared, they could just shock the entire plane into submission. I mean, these are the kind of ideas that these control freaks come out with. And go and watch the video for the fast screening program, DHS, which is where they erect all these mobile units outside public events, and they literally interrogate every single person before they're allowed into the event. It's a behavioral analysis of their facial reactions when they're asked certain questions. And that technology, it's now been announced, is already in some airports and is going in many other major airports. So every incremental step just gets crazier and crazier, and it outstrips anything that you could read about in Orwell's 1984.
But it's to keep us safe from the Al-Qaeda that's been given control of Libya and is being funded to attack Syria. Thank you, Paul Watson. Great report. I want to get a big report out explaining to people that the system knows that they're giving people cancer with these scanners, and maybe some screenshots of the different newscasts showing the families driving under the scanners with the military standing there being barbecued. Thank you, Paul Watson.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Now, I know I said I'd go to your calls, and we are going to your calls. We're going to go to Ezekiel, and then we're going to go to Pat, and then we're going to go to Chris, Chuck, Sean, and others. Ezekiel in Kentucky, thanks for holding. I meant to go to your calls earlier, but I went crazy thinking about the cancer from all these scanners going in and how they know it's killing people. and just how psychopathically evil this is. Ezekiel, welcome.
Thank you. I got three quick questions for you and a comment. First, about chemtrails last week over southwest Ohio, I witnessed the worst chemtrailing I've ever seen. I counted at least 18 high-altitude sprayers before I lost track. I got some pictures. But I'm starting to believe now that they're using drones for this, because I've been observing this for almost 10 years now, and recently I've been trying to use 10X binoculars to observe these planes, and even with binoculars, I still can't get a clear visual on these craft. The first question is, do you think there's a connection between chemtrails and Project Bluebeam, and do you think Project Bluebeam could be implemented this year?
All right, I appreciate your call. Project Bluebeam is a government program that part of it's been leaked to have a fake alien invasion to make the public do whatever the government says. It's a form of false flag staged event. I don't know. I know Hollywood's always getting the public ready for that. I know world leaders have said that it can be used someday. As for chemtrails, there's a whole bunch of different programs. There's low altitude, high altitude. The government admits that there are thousands of government tests going on for weather modification. But 99% of the activist community never looks at any of the admissions. They just speculate. But there's films on it. We've covered it. There is a geoengineering program going on. The White House science czar admits they are. Pat in New York, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How's it going, man?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to get a little Ron Paul news out there. I actually just saw a video. I didn't believe it was yesterday. Tom Woods was talking about Operation Grandma. I don't know if you heard about this.
No, tell me about it.
It's about talking to your grandparents, you know, your grandmothers and grandparents about Ron Paul, because most of the time, you know, they get most of their news from CNN, Fox News, all the mainstream media channels. And, you know, my grandma has a computer in the house, but she, like, never uses it. And, you know, she always talks about, oh, Obama's doing good, but, you know, if Congress only worked with them. And, you know, and I started telling her about Ron Paul and how he's the only one that's not corruptible and just all this stuff. And Operation Grandma, Thomas Woods actually talks about it. I just wanted to get that out there. Because
so you're saying go over to Grandma's house, get her computer working, and show her Ron Paul videos.
Exactly. Either that or just talk to her about Ron Paul, what he said.
Yeah, I agree. That's how you defeat tyrants, is everybody talking to everybody. Everybody reaching out to each other and pointing out what's going on. Great points. Good to hear from you. Let's go ahead and talk to Chuck in Michigan. Chuck, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great, brother. How about you?
I'm actually seeing some snow for the first time here in Michigan because they haven't sprayed for the past 5 days. So, but that's for another time. I wanted to talk about how this is my personal belief that Chicago is going to be turned into the Warsaw Ghetto due to the fact that it's a transportation hub and they keep wanting to do all this high-speed rail. And as it is, all the rail lines in the entire country stem from Chicago.
Well, a Indiana-based news outfit called The Newspaper interviewed a right-on-the-border Indiana county commissioner. I learned the guy's identity, but obviously we voice-changed him and you know, everything. When we got him on air one time for a short interview, it was a taped interview, and then he also did another interview. And I've since confirmed it, and now a lot of it's actually come out. They've been training for millions of dead, locking down Chicago in the surrounding counties around it and around Illinois for a long time. Go ahead.
Right. Why else would the president's right-hand man, Rahm Emanuel, take a job as a mayor? You know, I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever, unless something sinister is up.
Well, he can grandstand as the savior when the terrorist hit.
Yeah, the boogeyman who lives 5,000 miles away. Anyways, I also wanted to talk a little quick story about something that happened to me at the VA hospital about a year ago. I was down there, and I seen a TSA agent, and, you know, I got kind of a smart mouth, and I said something to him. I said, so how many times you stuck your hand down a 5-year-old's pants this week? And this guy, like, he was about to swing on me, and he started to push me, and I just kept backing up. Luckily, the VA police came and escorted this guy, but this guy was screaming at me like he wanted to kill me. And, I mean, this guy...
Well, how many have been busted now, raping kids and dealing drugs and robbing people? And, I mean, it's just, look, only an idiot would take that job, or a criminal.
Oh, yeah, this guy had total anger issues, and, I mean...
No, it's all about his power over people. He's going to enjoy the power of being barbecued by that radiation.
Yes, sir. Luckily the VA police were on my side. They seem to be okay down there because most of them are expats too. So he
didn't like you asking him about sticking his hand down 5-year-old's pants. I mean, that's his profession. Is dummy. I mean, literally, the psychologists are in mainstream news saying it's teaching kids to let pedophiles, like Sandusky, I guess, have their way. It's like that testing they reportedly do, and so kids that have been trained to be touched, well, now it's I guess fair game. And you're not supposed to, in a free country, have people groping your children's genitals, but it's all part of globalist training, slave training. Great points. We're going to come back with another call from Illinois. That guy was from Michigan. Sean in Illinois, Chris, Brian, Tim, your calls are all coming up. Then Gerald Celente and a ton of other economic and world news. Stay with us. All right, going back to your phone calls. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to have the one, the only, Gerald Celente on with us to cover world news, the economy, and break down more of his Trends Journal predictions for this year and the next as well. And we'll continue with your phone calls while Gerald is on with us. Then we have Bob Chapman joining us, but I'm also going to play a clip from Andy Griffin's show, Mayberry. Just to show you how TV has changed since the 50s till now. I mean, just think about all the stuff that's there. It's all designed for mind rot, basically, and to dumb the population down. One of my biggest problems is that I tend to focus on just the news propaganda, but the real propaganda is embedded in the culture. In the video games, in the TV, that's where you see it. Let's go ahead and go to Sean in Illinois. Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going? I just want to touch base. So you guys were talking about how, they have these scanners now, and, the government denies the fact that they cause cancer. This takes people back to, about like 50 years back when they used to spray DDT. They sprayed it from 1945 to 1970. They were saying that at the time was actually perfectly healthy, with nothing wrong with that. And then, years later, they got people popping up with cancer and stuff, and they banned it completely. And my dad actually a while back was talking about this, and there's a video, I think it's under the Rise and Fall of DDT on YouTube, and he actually shows a scientist who says, oh, there's nothing wrong with this, and he's eating DDT. He's literally eating pills of this to prove that there's nothing wrong with it. But come to find out, it causes cancer. The same kind of thing that's going on here, you got the scientists saying, this isn't going to do anything to you. But that's what they were saying back then. And that guy probably died of that kind of sickness,
Well, to be clear, I've studied DDT in depth, so it's a little of both. The eugenicist wanted to ban it because it was saving about 15 million lives a year, but it did have some toxicity. And so the chemical company said it was perfectly fine. They showed kids playing in it with the DDT trucks driving around. My mother in Austin growing up, they would run behind the trucks with the DDT spraying out of it, and that was shown on the newsreels. But at the same time then, when they banned it, because it's such an inexpensive poison, it did cause massive death. So there's a cost-benefit analysis there. But what about Agent Orange? What about the vaccines with cancer viruses in them? Again, a lot of this is on purpose.
I feel like in 50 years from now, we're going to look back, and they're going to say, all the stuff... You always hear people calling on your radio station about chemtrails because it's such a big deal. Here in Illinois, I see them almost on a daily basis outside of my house, tons of them, too, just littering the sky. I feel like in 50 years from now, people are going to look back and say, the government's going to say, yeah, we made a mistake. It caused, these kind of problems, and we shouldn't have done it. It's going to be just like the DDT type of thing.
Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate your call. Look, expanding on that, we'll come back and take a few more calls, and Gerald Celente is going to join us. Expanding on that, a lot of times the threats they tell us about are minor issues, or they're things that the patent is running out on and the establishment wants to charge you a lot more for something. It's like when the patent on Freon ran out, they had new systems to replace it, so they banned it, claiming it was destroying the ozone layer. But one thing I know about the global controllers, they could care less about this planet. I mean, I go back to the 60s, where they detonated, the U.S. alone, hundreds of high-powered hydrogen bombs in the upper atmosphere. And it's even on the History Channel to see if they could ignite the planet's atmosphere. I mean, these are crazy people.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We call it cedar, but it's really a juniper, a mountain juniper. And it's got the highest concentrations anywhere in the world here in central Texas. And it's in full bloom right now. Because I'm getting in shape, drinking plenty of water. I don't really feel bad from it, but it is taking my voice today, coating my larynx. I kind of lost my voice earlier, but we're going to complete the transmission this evening. And I've got Peter Schiff joining us on the nightly news tonight. A lot of breaking news. I'll be there as well. But it'll be a good rest at least Saturday before I come back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. With the Sunday radio show. But I'm just letting you know I lost my voice if it sounds a bit different there. Let's talk to Chris in North Carolina. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Alex. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
I just wanted to say a couple things. First, exposing the liar Mitt Romney. I think it was about last spring he made a speech where he said that corporations should be people. Then he said that he likes to fire people, and he tried to defend that by saying he didn't mean people. He meant insurance corporations, sort of that circular insanity.
Well, Mitt Romney, you know, admits that he's been connected to groups that got banker bailouts. And we played that clip yesterday where Luke Rodowski asked him about it. I mean, Mitt Romney is for carbon taxes, for heaven's sakes. And now he gets up there and says he's against abortion and stuff. The establishment put Obama in because that's what they want. The establishment wants to put Mitt Romney in because that's what they want. I mean, it's so elementary. If you want the status quo, which is tyranny and corruption, vote for anybody but Ron Paul. I mean, it's just, it's completely elementary.
On the police state from North Carolina, January 1st, they just passed a law. If you get a DUI with passengers in the car, it's 30 days in jail, no questions asked. If they pull you over now or come to your house because they've had a complaint about a party and anybody has drugs on them, they go to everybody's house that's at the party, and if you get pulled over in your car, they go to your house now. I don't know what they're using to justify that, but it's a coming. So everybody...
Wow, I want to hear about this show. So they pull you over, and somebody's got some marijuana in the car that George Washington grew and smoked. They total drug war by the people that bring it in. It's so amazing. They then go to your house. Tell me about this.
Well, I had a friend who got pulled over a couple weeks ago. He had 5 grams of marijuana on him, and they I don't know that they're doing it legally. He kept complying with them, which is probably the problem, but you know how it is. I had another friend that was having a party. They came to the place because of a complaint about the noise. Somebody there had some cocaine on them, I guess, but they went to everybody's house that was at the party. They just tell you they're going to detain you until they get a warrant to come to your house. That's North Carolina.
They want to know where the cocaine is. It's most of the police chiefs in every area are the main drug dealer. I mean, they're there to make sure all of it goes well. I mean, they're the drug dealers, and they have their low-level minions go out and then enslave you when you buy their product to pay them more money.
Yes, it's not Mayberry any longer, buddy. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the points. We won't have time to go to another caller in this segment, but I'll take some of your calls. You can talk to Gerald Celente and myself. You can address the question to either of us, Brian, Tim, Alaric, and Jeff, and others. Alaric, that is a cool name. That's the Visigoth chieftain that sacked Rome in 410. I wonder if that's a nom de plume All right, Nome de Guerre, or if Alaric in Nebraska is really named Alaric. You know, my parents almost named me Alaric. And they almost named me Jerry after my grandfather, too. And if I was going to be a girl, I was going to be named Skylark. My parents really weren't hippies, but I guess they were leaning enough that direction. Can you imagine Skylark Jones? All right. We're going to be right back, my friends. I do like Skylarks, though. That was one reason I didn't like moving out of my last house, because he had these beautiful little blue and gold larks.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are now 8 minutes into the second hour of this worldwide transmission. We're going to trends forecaster and frequent guest and a good friend of mine, Gerald Celente, here in a moment. Here's a big story we haven't really gotten to yet that's very important. The Jerusalem Post is reporting on this. We have some of the backstory on it at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Ex-Israeli intelligence officer Pearl Harbor-style attack will be pretext for war with Iran, what is the former top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush said. Ray McGovern, same thing. Jerusalem Post article implies U.S. will stage provocation to justify military assault. Paul Joseph Watson, InfoWars.com. Former Israeli intelligence officer A.V. Perry writes that a surprise Pearl Harbor-style Iranian attack on an American warship in the Persian Gulf will provide the pretext for the U.S. to launch all-out warfare against Iran. Given the fact that former Vice President Dick Cheney's office openly considered staging a false flag attack on a U.S. vessel in the Persian Gulf to blame it on Iran as a pretext for war, Perry's summation of how 2012 will see a new war cannot be taken lightly. Under the headline, Looming War with Iran, Perry writes, and it goes over it all. I just want to say something here. Iran, Israel, China, Russia, the U.S., England, they're all run by mafias. And all of these big mafias, the world's gotten in a very corrupt cycle. I want to get Gerald Celente's take on this, is why I'm raising it. Studying history, we've gotten into a very corrupt cycle worldwide. And as the corruption goes to seed and the society starts collapsing, the criminals are going to steal even faster because they have nothing to lose now. And that's what always accelerates tyranny into the absurdist realm, which is now happening. But tyrants always wrap themselves in the flag. If anybody criticizes them, they say, oh, you're just anti-German, or you're anti-Russian, or you're anti-Israel, or you're anti-England, or you're anti-China, or you're anti-America. It's the same formulas, the same tricks, the same playbooks. They all cheat each other as well, these big Fortune 100. They're a bunch of crooks, as Gerald Celente's pointed out. And the point is, the crooks want a big war, as Gerald said a year ago. He said, as things accelerate, as things implode, look for the first great war. That was his trend of 2011, his top trend, back in January of last year. Now he has his new big Trends Journal out. You can get a Trends Journal website if you want to find out a lot more. And we have the 12-point breakdown. It's trendsresearch.com. And you can see right there on the cover of it, if you guys will zoom in for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, it says the Trends Journal, the Trends Research Institute, forecasting worldwide since 1980, wanted, enemy of the state, Gerald Celente wanted for speaking the truth. This is just a black and white print off from our computer. We might show the color one later. And it says America with a K, USSA, by Department of Homeland Security. And joining us for the rest of the hour is Gerald Celente. Gerald, great to have you on with us, my friend.
Oh, it's always a pleasure being on with you, Alex.
So, they now admit that there's a war already going on with what we knew years ago, covertly in Iran. Things are escalating. What's on the front burner for Gerald Celente right now? Out of the gates, what's most important?
It is Iran. It's number one. There are two number ones. It's what's going on in Europe, the meltdown of the European Economic Union, and the Iranian war that they're building up. They declared war, Alex, with Obama when he signed on New Year's Eve, the National Defense Authorization Act. He also declared war against Iran, essentially, by making it impossible for businesses to do business with the Iranian bank who clears the deals to sell oil. And so already we've just heard from Japan, they said, according to the reports, that they're going to cut back on buying Iranian oil. Timothy Geithner just went to China and tried to strong arm the Chinese into not buying Iranian oil. 22% of Iranian oil goes to China. The European Economic Union, the Eurozone, they have already announced that they're going to stop buying Iranian oil. It's an act of war. It's a reverse of what happened as they're talking about what Pearl Harbor. I mean, people, if they know their history a little bit, the United States stopped Japan from buying oil. And now what they're doing is they're stopping Iran from selling their oil. And over 60% of Iran's GDP comes from selling oil. So we can see what's being set up here. Imagine this. Imagine if Iran put sanctions on companies doing business with America. Oh, my God, would there be some outrage going on?
No, I did notice that all of this is unfolding. In fact, while you were talking, Rob Dew just walked in and handed this to me. It's why I was distracted for a moment. It's on another issue, Gerald, but it ties into just the rampant criminality. Here is a story out of Reuters. MF Global may not be able to pay clients back, the trustee says, Gerald. And so here we are two and a half months into this, and now they're just saying, you know, we don't know where the money is. Most of you won't get your money back. And by the way, Corzine, the White House advisor, got caught lying in Congress, but nobody gets in trouble. I mean, doesn't that just green light all sorts of new crime?
Well, exactly. It's a criminal operation. And it's Corzine. I love the headline. He's looking for new place to start up business. Yeah, how about Sing Sing? Again, you know, when you look at the prostitutes and how they cover this, imagine if you or I or anybody listening breaks a minor crime. You know, they'll crash down your doors and drag you away. Could you imagine not being able to find money on your tax return? How they'd be hounding you to death? And going back and talking about this criminality and tying it together, here's what's going on, as I said, in Europe. Because as we made this forecast based upon, as you mentioned, a year ago, the collapse coming, the cover-up. It's not a recovery. We said it was a cover-up. And if you look back and you hear the European Central Banker at the time, the head Trichet, a couple of years ago, saying that the Greek problem was solved. They would handle it. And now, of course, you can't make this stuff up, Alex. This is yesterday's Financial Times. Here's the headline. ECB sees signs of let-up in debt crisis. This is yesterday. Today, guess what? We have a debt crisis again. And here's what they're saying over there in Greece. This is from the Australian. Banks say no deal on Greek debt. Quote, there has been no agreement on any Greek deal or a specific haircut, says Charles Dallara, head of the Institute of International Finance, which represents banks in the EU negotiation. We remain open to a dialogue in search of a voluntary agreement. Now, let's make this clear so everyone could understand this BS language. The banks made bad bets. It's as simple as that. Because they made bad bets, they don't want to take a haircut. You make a bad bet. Hey, you know what we'll call that, Alex? Capitalism. How about that?
Oh.
But not when the banks do it. They don't want to take a haircut because the white shoe boys don't want to take a trimming. Instead, they're going to screw you and grab the money from you, from the Greeks, from the Italians, from the Americans, from the French, from the German, from everybody. So what do they do? I got it. Austerity measures. How's that for a nice word? It kind of conjures up those feelings of, you know, doing the right thing. Yeah, like raising taxes, cutting benefits, cutting pensions, cutting services, and increasing the cost of services, raising taxes as you're losing money, and increasing the retirement age until after you're dead. So now what is happening is the whole system is collapsing. We're hearing reports that are coming out today, as you know, that they're going to be downgrading French and Austrian debt, just like they did in the U.S. What does that mean? The credit rating is being lowered.
So the very bankers that engineered all this, who are the recipients of our bailout, that's our tax money, they then lower your government's credit rating, and you pay them higher interest on the money you gave them that they loaned back to you.
Exactly. And that's why they call them the money changers, the loan sharks. Again, the people that Jesus Christ beat out of the temple with a whip and turned over their tables. The money changers are in charge, like a slime ball-like causeline. And it keeps going on. I'm sure, Alex, that you read the latest reports that just came out. Again, this goes under the headlines of, you can't make this up. And here's the latest one. It's about those wonderful boys at the Federal Reserve, how they called it wrong in 2006. You have the transcripts of people like Timothy Geithner saying, quote, "We just don't see troubling signs yet of collateral damage. And we are not expecting much. Oh, we aren't, aren't we? The wheeze. The white shoe weasels, that's who Wheeze is. There's one after another. This is the cat that's running the treasury." And I love the language as it keeps going on. You'd like to grab these guys by the throat and say, who are you talking to? I'd like the record to show, Geithner goes on to say, how wonderful Greenspan is.
Oh, yes, stay there. So one little mafia minion's telling us how great the retired Don did, how they helped everybody. They handed out free turkeys on Thanksgiving, the very people they were shaking down.
Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Don't nobody know my trouble for God. Don't nobody know my trouble for God.
On screen, we have the Trends Research Journal Quarterly. They also have news alerts as well. Find out more at trendsresearch.com. Our websites, of course, are prisonplanet.tv, where we're streaming this TV show right now, /radio. And we have the nightly news. Peter Schiff's on with us tonight, one of Ron Paul's top financial advisors on his economic policy. Now, going back to Gerald Celente in the short segment, more news and your calls coming up with Gerald in the next. Gerald, you were getting into how this disgusting crew of admitted miscreant Ponzi scheme operators always are constantly giving each other awards, worshiping each other for what they've done, promising to never devalue the dollar as they do it, lying 24/7, and hurtling us towards collapse. Give us your latest breakdown on the acceleration of the world depression. Because, you know, a few years ago, the New York Times would say you were a pessimist porn dealer. Now they say, okay, we never had a recovery. The question is, will it be a global recession or depression? But according to you and many other analysts I talk to, for the average folks, we've been in a depression for a long time.
Anybody that goes shopping knows what the deal is. I mean, these guys are so out of touch with what's going on. And of course we are. You know, you look at the data. What is the gap between the rich and the poor in America? You know, it's like Zimbabwe or something. And that's according to the CIA fact book. Anybody could go look this up. Look at the decline according to official estimates. You know, household income, median household income, has collapsed 10% since this thing began at the panic of 08. But I really want to read these quotes so that people could understand who's in charge.
Yeah, start over with the Greenspan worship.
Well, here's one over here from Bernanke. Now, this is as the markets are collapsing. I'm out there saying the real estate bubble has burst. And here's the quote from Bernanke.
quote, "I agree with most of the commentary that the strong fundamentals support a relatively soft landing in housing. If this was me or you, we would be fired. But no, this guy's put her, the prostitutes, bow down, suck up, kiss up, Mr. Bernanke, sir, chairman, sir. Hey, about how could anybody be so wrong? Here's another great one from our esteemed Treasury Secretary. Check it out. Quote, we think the fundamentals of the expansion going forward still look good. Oh, we do, do we? What you mean, we, Kim Osabi? Not me, not other people. With Peter Schiff, Paul Craig Roberts, Mark Farber. You know, there were a number of us that said this thing was collapsing. But the we's in this are astounding. And I want to make this point because, Alex, it's the same we's on the military end that know what they're doing. Oh, how no one saw this coming. We are going to get in a war with Iran? Look what just happened with Iraq. Hey, did you see all those victory parades? You must have missed a big one. I wonder where Bloomberg was with his American shirt on and Lady Gaga to welcome home the troops from Iraq on Wall Street with all the confetti falling. I didn't see it happening. The same losers in the military are going to do the same thing that the losers on the financial end are going to do. You know, there's been a lot of press out there about, I heard Panetta saying that our first he was CIA, then he's now the head of the Defense Department, saying how despicable it is that our troops were urinating on the dead Taliban. How about this, deplorable, he said. How about despicable it is that you sent them over there? How about how despicable it is these guys are dead? How about waterboarding people?
I was about to say, Gerald, it makes me think of the line from Full Metal Jacket, Apocalypse Now, where he's talking to Colonel Kurtz, and he says, we give our troops demerits for writing cuss words on airplanes, but then we tell them to drop firebombs on little villages full of children. I mean, there it is. Torture, murder, drones killing whole families to kill one, quote, bad guy. All this evil. And then they obsess over, oh, my gosh, they urinated on corpses.
Yeah, what a bunch of baloney this is. And these are young kids. And they believe this crap that people like, you know, our secretary of this and that are telling us.
Well, stay there. We got a break. Come back with that on the other side, and let's continue and look at how fast you see things unraveling. Go back into Iran and phone calls. Gerald Celente is our guest. It's Friday the 13th. Stay with us. Okay, we're going back to Gerald Celente and his trends for 2012 and breaking down some of the latest news and then your phone calls here in just a moment. I want to remind listeners, we've got a lot of new items on the online video bookstore / apparel area at Infowars.com. And your purchase of books, videos, T-shirts not only helps give you tools to wake up others, but it also funds our news operation that is reaching millions and millions of new people every single week conservatively. So I want to thank all of you. It's been out of print for over a year. It's back with an updated and abridged edition, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, almost 500 pages long, full of documents. This every teacher, every school board person needs to see this, to understand why the dumbing down of America has been by design, and it's discounted out of the gates at Infowars.com. We also have the incredible film exposing Oklahoma City as an inside job. This is like holy water on a vampire for people that don't understand what false flag terror is. Get it out to everybody. It's called Noble Lie, available at Infowars.com. And then we have all the other books and T-shirts and other materials there on the site. Also, all orders get a Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, famous quotes, jury nullification pamphlet, powerful 65 pages, and free bumper stickers with all of the orders. And we're running a 15-day free trial at PrisonPlanet.tv to see the nightly news and all the films and everything else right there at PrisonPlanet.tv. And, of course, I'll be back tonight with Peter Schiff, 7 o'clock Central at PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. We'll take you there. Now, going back to Gerald Celente. Gerald, I've been throwing some of the questions out here, and you were getting into Afghanistan and these diversions, but I totally concur with you. They'll have this weird moral idea of torture, secret arrest, kill 200 people to kill one bad guy, let 40,000 blacks be killed or injured because they're black in Libya by Western-funded al-Qaeda. All of this comes out, and it's moral and loving with left cover under Obama. But then some troops urinate on dead bodies, and I'm not saying that's a good thing to do, but that's just usually wars, raping, murder, stuff even worse. And then they obsess over it and moralize like they're these goody two-shoes up there. I mean, it's clearly a psychological operation.
Well, again, it's exactly that, because the same metaphor could be applied to, you have a big guy like John, the slime Corzine, that can't find $1.2 billion, and you see him at these phony little House hearings over there with the name in front of him, Honorable John Corzine. But then somebody, you know, you or I or anybody out there, we have a minor infraction. They're going to come down with the strong arm of the law to show us that we have to obey. So these soldiers are the pawns for these criminals that sent them over there. It's a despicable act to have invaded Afghanistan. It's a despicable act to have started the war in Iraq. How come there's no war crime tribunals? It's clear as can be. I saw that Ron Paul, it's going all over the internet, the one on the war in Iraq. How you hear from Colin Powell, how you hear from Bush, how you hear from Rumsfeld, how you hear from Cheney. Say, it's clear, all the evidence is there, man. This guy has weapons of mass destruction. They're some of the worst on earth, and they're going to get us. How come nobody's bringing them in for questioning? It's the same thing. The criminals that start it are the ones that blame us for the problems, because it all ties together, Alex. What's going on in Europe with the collapse of the European Monetary Union that's happening in front of us, what they do, and the same thing back here in the States, the bigger their screw-ups, the more it costs, the more they clamp down on us. So that's what you're seeing at every level, whether it's at war, whether it's in the economy, whether it's in social, as Ron Paul again says when they call him a racist. He's out there saying, you don't see any rich people getting electrocuted. You don't see the rich people like John the Slime Corzine doing any time. It's the minorities. It's the poorer people. It's one after another. It's all ties together.
Well, Gerald, I want to go to calls here, but what are some of the other big trends you're looking at right now?
Well, right now, you know, those are the ones that we all have to pay attention to. And, of course, this whole election that's going on and the disgrace that they call the media. You know, I suffer through watching this stuff, as you do. And you see how they marginalize Ron Paul. And I have to tell you, you know, all my life I've been watching this. I've never heard a greater speech than his after the New Hampshire primary. It was natural. It was real. We're sitting together with our staff. And as soon as Romney came on, I looked at them. I said, this cat's talking from a teleprompter. You see the way the cameras were set and his cadence. And sure enough, that's what it was. And one after another, they were dead. Ron Paul had said he was alive. And one thing he said, among other things, that really stuck out. He's calling for an intellectual revolution. Sound familiar? It's a call that I made a number of years ago. We sent out a trend alert and wrote about it in 2009. We even took out the domain name, intellectualrevolution.com, back in 2009. So this is the direction for the future. It has to be one of brains, and clearly the nitwits at the Treasury, they don't have the brains. I just want to read this to you briefly, Alex, because it puts things into perspective of how we're being brainwashed. And this is from, of course, the Turlet paper of record. The transcripts of the 2006 meetings clearly show some of the nation's preeminent economic minds did not fully understand the economy that they were in charge of supervising. The most preeminent minds, what a bunch of beltway wankers.
Well, no, that's what they do. They have this appeal to experts, and they roll out paid hacks, and they'll say, is it credible that Ron Paul, I saw this on the news last week, says that Israel created Hamas? And the lady says, no, it's not credible. When Israel admits they did, it's like saying, is it credible Ron Paul said that ducks have beaks? And she goes, no, everyone knows they have the mouths of wolves. And they're like, see, is it credible that Ron Paul says the sky is blue? And she's like, no. And it's this where they sit there like con artists in plain view and tell us what reality is. Since you mentioned it, Gerald, the whole thing's up at InfoWars.com. I want to play part of it. New Ron Paul ad, war propaganda that we posted on InfoWars yesterday. Here it is.
We're going to find out massive evidence of weapons of mass destruction. Massive evidence of weapons of mass destruction.
All those things that you predict are going to come true, and a lot of people that have been laying out the case against us are going to be very embarrassed.
Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraqi regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
Iraq provided training in these weapons to Al-Qaeda.
Listen, these folks are determined. These are killers. They chop people's heads off. They're getting money from around the world. They're getting recruits.
It turned out, as we discovered later, that a lot of the sourcing that had been attested to by the intelligence community was wrong. I deeply regret that the information I presented with the multi-source was wrong.
We thought he had weapons of mass destruction. Turns out he didn't. Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
18 people were killed in Iraq.
Nope, no weapons over there.
As many as 4 people are dead and 15 wounded after a car bomb exploded on Tuesday.
Maybe under here.
Very embarrassed.
In light of the fact that we did not find the weapons of mass destruction, would you do the same thing all over again? Would you do the same thing all over again?
We rested our case on the existence of weapons of mass destruction. I think without the weapons of mass destruction case, the justification would not have been there.
It has nothing to do with national security. Matter of fact, our national security is more jeopardized by permitting this to happen because we're liable to start a war. We're liable to have our military men killed. We're liable to have more attacks on us by terrorists. I do not think it's effective. I think it drums up more anti-American hostility.
I see no threat to our national security. There's no convincing evidence that Iraq is capable of threatening the security of this country. Very little reason, if any, to pursue a war.
The Iranians have repeatedly said they want to wipe Israel off the map.
Take military action to keep Iran from having a nuclear weapon.
You have to take whatever steps are necessary to break its capacity to have a nuclear weapon.
The Iranians are the existential threat to the state of Israel.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Leaves no doubt.
Iran will take a nuclear weapon. They will use it to wipe our ally Israel off the face of the map.
It's another Iraq coming. There's war propaganda going on. To me, the greatest danger is that we will have a president that will overreact.
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist.
It's wild gold to have another war in the name of defense is the dangerous thing.
But there is nothing that indicates that Iran is really building a bomb.
They produced information that led you to believe that, but they have no evidence.
We might not be able to trust the IAEA.
They say that the source is actually a single source.
The sourcing was wrong.
Will not tell us where that source is coming from at all. The provenance of that source has not been established.
Just like we did in Iraq, build up the war propaganda. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Okay. It's time we quit this.
All right. And the real Al-Qaeda has been given Libya. Gerald, I played that clip because you brought it up. But, I mean, how do they square, we've got to attack anybody who might get a nuke. Let's say they might get a nuke. I mean, do we attack Pakistan, Russia, China? This idea that we attack somebody before they attack, and then our government blows up their military bases, as they admit is happening, and that's loving and liberal to assassinate people. And then torturing people is good. And then the American people that go along with the war, Gerald, do they think they're going to be safe when there's no Bill of Rights or Constitution? I mean, these protections are there for a reason.
Well, again, that's why one of the reasons we have one of our top trends of 2012, Battlefield America. How, as you well know, that after signing the National Defense Authorization Act and on New Year's Eve, when no one was paying attention, and most people don't knowing what is in that, they could call the term is in there, belligerence. You and I, we're pretty belligerent. They could take us away and kill us. And I believe they're doing this because they do see the collapse coming, and they are going to start a war. They're already doing it. They've declared war. They're cutting them out from not making a buck. It's an embargo. It's clear as that. And the point that I want to keep making is that the same type of incompetence that is in clear view for everyone to read that comes from the economic end, the incompetence and stupidity and arrogance that we just heard from Bush, from Colin Powell, from Rumsfeld. I love Rumsfeld. They chop people's heads off. Hey, guess what? I think somebody chop your cojones off, Donald. I'm sick and tired of these fat mouths like Gingrich over there. We have to go bomb. What do you mean we? I mean, this guy can't run up a flight of stairs. What do you mean we? And here's the sickness and the immorality. Because they're sending young guys to do this. These guys are coming back realizing that they're going through all these tours of duty for nothing. And being put in these terrible conditions, and their lives threatened, they're drugged out on prescription drugs, they're coming back home, and what's here for them? Nothing. Nothing. I read something that the unemployment rate among our vets is over 30%, and they don't want to go to the VA. And you know why they don't want to go to the VA? Because they just saw how the military shafted them. And they don't trust the VA. So it's a morality issue here. It's as clear as that.
No, we've got a bunch of crooks that are cynical and think everything's a joke and think the party's going to never end. I want to go to some calls, but look at this economic news. Now, you and I and others get criticized for pointing out that according to all classical economic numbers, we're in a depression. U.S. debt nears $15.94 trillion. That's more than the GDP every year. Here's one out of Forbes, the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression. Now they call it the greatest recession. You got to love how they spend 50 million Americans on electronic soup kitchen, food stamps, and they just keep shoveling this bull at us, and it's become totally see-through, but they're up there saying, let them eat cake. I don't see them getting away with this, Gerald.
Well, no, and again, this election is the most important in our lifetime. It can go, Alex, I've never felt more confident about a new year than 2012. The vacuum is so huge. Anyone can see through the lies. Again, front page story about how the Fed didn't see it coming and lied to us simultaneously. The clip that you just played of Ron Paul, how they lied to us. People see it. You're 100% correct. The future is in our hands. It's a moral issue. It's not a political issue.
A lot of the criminality that we have in our government flows all these problems. I mean, it's now coming out that Monsanto, we already knew this, but now it's confirmed, actually owns most of the ambassadors and pays them. And so they'll give a country some giant concession that hurts other industries just to get what Monsanto wants through. I mean, there's just no end to this espionage. This is corporate globalist espionage through our government. Look at how Goldman Sachs runs all the country ministers that they're gutting. I mean, it's real simple. It's a hijacking.
Again, as I said it, you know, it's as old as the scriptures. The money changers are in charge. It's the love of money being the root of all evil. I just didn't make that one up right now. And you can look and the ties are the same. Look at the war profiteers in this Iraq war. Oh, and they'll come up, they can't find $85 billion. And then, hey, what's for lunch? I mean, come on. It's one thing after another. And again, as I said, we have a gang of 535 senators and congressmen running the show.
But now so, I see videos every day where a woman just says, oh, you're a big tough guy to a cop. So he punches her in the face and the police chief defends it. Or where they beat somebody up for filming him. I mean, they throw the book at you for not even having a crooked toenail if you don't suck their boots properly. I mean, but then meanwhile, the criminals are running rampant.
You got it. And that's what happens in third world countries. Look, again, the gap between the rich and the poor. When I began my career in 1970, my first real job, the gap between the CEO and the average worker was 24 to 1. Now it's about 450 to 1. You look at today, yesterday's news, how much these three guys in the Carlyle Group, you know, this politically tied hedge fund, private equity firm, like $100 million each or something. And then you see the tax rate that they pay. They don't pay it on a personal level. No, it's a capital gains tax. No, it's not. You're just doing deals. They're paying 15%. We have to pay much more. We're in the 35% range. The whole game is rigged by the money changers. It's as simple as that, but I want to make it clear because you brought it up. People are seeing through this. The future is in our hands. It's ours to have. And I have to say, I have never been so pro a candidate as I am, and I make this clear, I don't agree with Ron Paul on a lot of libertarian issues. I want the CFTC, the Commodities Future Trading Commission. I want the SEC.
The point is, he is an outsider. The system is attacking him, and that right there lets you know that's why he's the man for the job. And look at how they're throwing everything they've got at him, and he would be the candidate, presumptive winner, for the nomination if they weren't throwing everything they had at him. But despite that, he's still rising, and they are pulling their hair out. They relish, the prostitutes do, the coin you termed, the term you coined, that they can't just tell us what reality is now, and we don't just fall down on our knees and worship these little chicken-neck teleprompter readers when they lied to us. I want to go to some calls here, but make a comment on the prostitutes running out of bullets and just discrediting themselves in the process.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see it all the time. What was this guy King? Was it John King, Queen, and his wife, Donna Bash? It's on the video, her saying how worried she was in the Republicans. This is CNN, that if Ron Paul wins, you know, if he keeps going. And the other issue here, and I want to make this really clear, 4 more years of Obama, people are going to wish that Bush was back.
Unbelievable. Let's go to Brian in North Carolina, and then we'll go to Jeff and Alaric and everybody else. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, Gerald and Alex. I got a quick question for the both of you.
Okay.
What do you think about E1 Corporation's YouTube worldwide blockade of not just your 2007 documentary, Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, but they could censor the Obama deception, which you and Gerald Celente were both on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's big calls for internet censorship going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of our top trends, Big Brother Internet. Oh, no, look, I'm telling you, the bigger their screw-ups, the harder they clamp down on us. You know, what are they going to see? Maybe, you know, a wheelchair granny bomber, a brassiere bomber? They're going to make something up or they're going to start a war, and it'll be an excuse to clamp down more on our freedoms. How much more clamp down than you need than the National Defense Authorization Act?
Well said. Thank you so much, Brian. Good questions. Anything else?
I've sent it to your news tip emails so you can look at all the screenshots of the censorship going on.
All right, we'll look it up. Thank you. Let's go to Alaric in Nebraska and then Jeff. Alaric, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really glad you guys talked about the censorship of Ron Paul. Here's a couple of little news items I got. Four small things. One is Virginia. They apparently closed their primary so that now you have to be registered. Also, a judge has backtracked and said that the other candidates, not just Romney and Ron Paul, will be allowed on it, but all of the other ones as well.
Yeah. Ron Paul goes out and actually qualifies for all the states. The others don't need to now. That way they can try to sap his vote. I did see that. And they've got people all over every channel saying he cannot win, he will not win, talking down to their viewers.
I know. It's just totally disgusting. What is this guy, O'Donnell, one of these guys, called him a fraud? This guy Schultz babbling on? Every one of them.
Yeah, he said Huntsman really won. This is on MSNBC, the host. Huntsman really won. Ron Paul and his supporters are frauds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is disgusting.
These guys think you talk about the white shoe boy arrogance. They really are arrogant. They're so used to telling us to get down and lick their boots and get down and do what they say. They really think they control us, but you can see them losing. I mean, they're losing more and more every day, Gerald.
Well, I know. Look, it's evident as can be. Who are these people to say what we should think or who can win? I mean, the arrogance is...
They think we're so weak-minded and so peer-pressure-driven that they tell us how to dress, how to talk, like your dad used to tell you. Don't be a parrot. Don't repeat. Be your own person. That's what freedom's all about. And when some guy's in a suit with a perfect teleprompter saying Ron Paul and his supporters are a fraud, no, that person's a fraud. And he's a panicked fraud. And they're so arrogant. They're so hubris-filled, Gerald. That, I know, is what's going to undo them. Because they just can't even hide what arrogant scumbags they are.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the future is ours to have. You look at a number of young people that are supporting Ron Paul. And there was a thing, I can't stand the Huffington Post. There was something in there yesterday about this woman writing about how the young people are supporting Ron Paul. In one illiterate long sentence, she managed to knock him down three times, calling him crotchety, saying that he has to take a nap or he can't go on because he has to take a rest. I mean, a great-grandfather, one derogatory thing after another, and then finally saying that young people support him. So it's the youth that can get us through this.
And I love the fact that Ron Paul points out, win, lose, or draw, we win. This is about an idea, and those are bulletproof. Alaric, anything else?
Yeah, Florida looks like they're going to allow proportional delegates. So that, if that is true, then Ron Paul may stand a chance to get delegates from Florida.
Yeah, it does. And again, you know, let's understand, as you just pointed out, the game is rigged. They rig it, whether it's finance, whether it's politics. Look at the reports that just came out about two
months ago. I tell you what, Gerald, do five more with us and tell us about those reports and take a call or two. We'll get you out of here in about 6 minutes. We're back in 1 minute. But people say, well, then why run if it's rigged? You show how it's rigged by running. Okay, you get in the ring, you beat the other guy, and they hold the other guy's hand up and show you that it's rigged. Now you know Don King's running the match.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome guy, Gerald Celente, top trends forecaster. You got cut off by the break. You were starting to make a point.
Well, the point is that the game is rigged now. Just a couple of months ago, there was a report that came out about the last elections in Ohio and how those numbers, or election before, how the numbers are all cooked. And what do we have? That company Diebold, the Republican company that controls most of these voting machines, and how easily they can be hacked, I think for like $24. So the game is rigged at every level. But as you keep pointing out, Alex, more and more people are aware now. The show is so bad. The con men aren't that good anymore. Look at them. O'Donnell, Schultz, Murdaugh, Hannity, Combs, Laurel, Hardy, Abbott, Costello. Give me a break. Who believes this stuff? One of my pals, Anthony Formanzano. I said to him, Anthony, I said, if Santorum or Romney or Gingrich or Huntsman came into our place over here and tried to lay their line on us, how long would they last before we threw them out? Anthony said, about 30 seconds. And then he said, maybe shorter. The only way these guys could get away with this crap is by having the presidential reality show stage set for them and a bunch of suck-up, bow-down prostitutes making them look good.
No, they force-feed us like geese or something. They force-feed us their vomit so they can eat our livers later. Let's talk to Tim in Georgia. Tim, you're on the air with Gerald Celente. Last caller for Gerald. We'll get to everybody else with Bob Chapman. Go ahead, Tim.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. Welcome.
Very well. Well, I came up with a name for the media. I came up with Babylonian, because that's all they do is babble.
And they want to sell us on a slave-ridden empire. I like prostitute. I think it's one of the best ones out there. You know, propaganda media, dinosaur media is a term I've coined. But again, some people won't know what a prostitute is, understanding it's a prostitute. Gerald, what are some other names for the suck-up, mercenary, deceiver, decepticon, liar media? I mean, just scam artists, hoax media?
Yeah, I mean, you know, these are people who have no self-respect. I mean, they're the same people in high school and college that were head of the school newspaper. I mean, it was sucking up to the principal or the dean. They're doing the same thing now with the president or the school. And by the way, you have that great Anthony Frieda art of the prostitute. And we'll send you a prostitute T-shirt that he did. And it's really a brilliant one.
Oh, can
really
I buy a prostitute T-shirt at Trends Research?
Well, I'm going to send one to you that he made up for us. But you have that one from one of our past Trends journals that he did. It's brilliant. And so all they are, these are people who have no self-respect. All this is, everybody should understand this. As I read before earlier about the financial end and how these beltway circle jerk keeps congratulating themselves. It's high school. That's all it is. The people we hated in high school that wanted to be class president, head of the student council, there they are. Remember the guys that wanted to be the Eagle Scouts, then went on to ROTC? You even hear them talk about Petraeus, who's now head of the CIA, about how he has that Boy Scout charm. These guys are still playing the same game. And then you got the Hannitys, you got the O'Reillys, and the Chris Matthews. These are the altar boys. That's all they are. I knew them. And I was the only kid in Christ the King school that wasn't an altar boy because of guys like him. They love taking orders. And they like bowing down sometimes.
All right. Listen, great job, Gerald. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman. Got a few movie clips I want to play.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, this is going to be an absolutely jam-packed third hour today with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster.com. If you're just joining us, I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. We're here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, obviously. And I come back live Sundays, and I'll be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time as well. Coming up, I want to go over the economic news that just confirms what Bob and others have broken down. They're now calling it the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression, and basically admitting it's a depression, but they won't call it that. We've also got ex-Israeli intelligence officer tells the Jerusalem Post that the U.S. will stage a Pearl Harbor attack against its own ships as a pretext for all-out war. And I've got a bunch of economic news I want to go over as well with Bob, like MF Global may not be able to pay clients back now. And the Drudge Report is linked to our cashless society. India implements first biometric ID program for all of its 1.2 billion residents. But coming up, I have a clip from Vendetta that I want to play where they talk about government staging a false flag bio attack, which I believe is in the cards. And I've been saying this, of course, before that movie came out. I mean, it's very clear. You have the New York Times on Monday with a headline, Engineered Doomsday, where all over the country, the U.S. government funds in level two labs, what should be in level four labs, if anywhere, weaponized Ebola, bird flu, H1N1, mousepox. Some of these kill 99% of all humans they come in contact with and are airborne. So I want to play this clip coming up with Bob. But first, I wanted to play and then get Bob Chapman's take on this because, you know, he grew up and saw all of this. The Andy Griffith Show from the 1950s that aired into the 1960s with all of its wholesome pro-America Constitution Bill of Rights messages. And then compare this now where everything is an assault on the family. Everything is how to teach your two-year-old profanity. The F word during the family hour uttered by the baby. I saw that this week. It's like baby to utter the F word on network TV. Just all about making everything petty and arrested development and adults acting like children. I mean, imagine if in 50 years TV has turned into what it is now. What will it be like in 20 years? Why is there this total assault on morality? Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. That's why. So I want to play this clip. Now, this is where the sheriff, his son's not doing well on some history. And he says, it's okay, Opie. I wasn't too good at history. Don't worry about it. So he goes to the teacher and says, I'm not going to worry about it. My dad says, don't worry about it. So she threatens to quit. The kids run into the police station. Now you have to go through a naked body scanner, and you know, because you're a terrorist. And they talk to the sheriff and say, you know, gee, you know, this is great. She, you know, she doesn't, you know, think she can teach us anymore. We're winning. And he gives them a little history lesson and tells them how informative and interesting history is. And they basically wake up to how amazing it is. So here's a few minutes of this clip, and then we'll get Bob Chapman's take on this on the other side. But this is from the episode of the Andy Griffin Show from the 1950s. This is one of the early ones titled Andy Griffith Discovers America. Here it is.
I guess they'll have to find you a new teacher, huh?
Yeah!
Hey, they might not be able to find you a new teacher. All the trouble you give Miss Crump.
Yeah!
And if they do find one, I bet she won't give you any of that history homework. I'm glad for you. You know that? I'm glad for you. That history's hard. You're lucky. You know that? You know what y'all do? Go out and celebrate.
Yeah, listen, go out and play and have a good time. You won't have to study all that stuff and mess around learning all that dull stuff about the Indians and redcoats and cannons and guns and muskets and stuff.
Yeah.
What about Indians and redcoats and cannons and muskets and guns and stuff?
Oh, you know, Indians and redcoats and, you know, history.
Yeah?
Yeah, they had the craziest gun.
What gun?
Oh, they had a gun that fired a shot that was heard clear around the world.
Darnest thing I ever heard of.
What gun?
What?
What kind of gun?
What kind of gun what?
You know what kind of gun. The kind of gun that can fire a shot that can be heard clear around the world. Tell us about that gun.
Well, there was this fella. You sure you want to hear this story's history?
Tell the story.
Well, one time a long time ago, this country was a part of England, and we wasn't getting along with them too good. In fact, we was thinking about breaking away and starting our own country. But the king over there in England, he says, you do that, and I'm going to send my redcoats. They was British soldiers, and he's going to send them over here to whoop us.
Nerve.
Yeah. He says, you better think about that thing. Well, so your great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddies all got together, you know, to think about it. And they argued about it back and forth a while. And finally one of them says, let's do it. Let's start our own country. Somebody says, how you do that? Says, I don't know. Says, I reckon you just start. Says, what'll we call it? Says, let's call it the United States of America.
That was a good name.
Yeah. Now, about that time, up in Boston, Massachusetts, there's a fellow living up there named Paul Revere. And he's a pretty good old fellow, just as poor as Job's turkey, but he's a pretty good old fellow. And he owned a real good old horse named Nellie. Now, Paul, he was wandering around the streets up there one night, and he come up on a friend of his. And he says, howdy, what's new? His friend says, what's new? Says, the British is coming. That's what's new. What's the matter with thee? And Paul says, you're kidding. He says, it's a fact. Says, I just heard it from an Indian, and you know them Indians, they keep their ears to the ground. And Paul says, do the folks know about this? Fella says, I just heard about it myself. And Paul says, well, what we gonna do? And fella says, I'm getting out of town. And Paul says, well, we got to spread the word. He says, you spread it, I'm getting out of town. Well, Paul, he didn't know what to do, but he knowed he had to do something. Now, it happened that they had planned, if the British was ever to come over here, that they'd put a light up in this high church steeple. And Paul went down there to look. And sure enough, there was the light, burning brighter than day. Well, Paul, he jumped on his old horse and he lit out. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew he had to go somewhere. Oh, I wish you could have seen it. That old horse with his ears laid back and his nostrils wide open, a sucking in wind like a jet engine, feet pounding on them cobblestones, striking off sparks. Paul holding on for dear life and hollering at the top of his lungs. He says, the British is coming, the British is coming. Get you a gun, we gonna have us a revolution. And them farmers come up piling out of the hay like bees out of a beehive. Minutemen, they's called. They grabbed their squirrel guns.
What's Minutemen?
Minutemen? There's fellas that had to be ready at a minute's notice. And when Paul comes screeching down the road that way, they grabbed their guns and hid out behind the weeds and walls and trees and everywhere. And when the British come prancing along all dressed up in their red suits and a-waving to the girls, they let them have it. It was a sight to see. And then it happened.
They fired the gun.
And the shot was so loud, it was heard clear around the world.
Oh, get out.
It's a fact. That's the way this country started. You read the book.
What book?
Yeah, what book? Where'd you get that story, Pop?
Oh, your history book.
My history book?
Sure. All kinds of good stories stuck in there amongst the history.
Yeah? Good as the one you just told us?
Sure. Some of them even better.
No fooling, Paul?
No fooling. You fellas look through that book, I bet you in a couple of weeks you'd be coming in here telling me stories.
All right. Now, I wanted to play that. I appreciate Bob sitting while we did that. We're about to go to break, but I want to get his take on it. To illustrate, you wonder why Americans don't know why they're being enslaved. They were never taught it. Look at the messages in TV now. It's all anti-liberty, anti-family, anti-gun. Look at what the globalists have done to us by design to steal our birthright. Bob Chapman, your take on that clip.
And the opposite of that is training us to be citizens of the world in a one-world government. And it, as pointed out earlier by yourself, Alex, it's the difference between pro-Americanism and morality. We're lacking a lot of that morality today, as we know. We see what goes on every day. And so, yes, there's been a process of brainwashing, and they'll try to continue it. And we have to inform people, and that's what we're doing, about what these people are up to, and that's what these programs are all about.
Bob, I'm glad you're here. I want to get into the latest financial news and talk about what the new edition of the International Forecaster tomorrow is going to cover at theinternationalforecaster.com. But when we come back, I want to first, because I heard a clip of you on another show doing this, but it didn't get into too much detail. Areas that you've studied that you think are better than the U.S. outside the United States, because a lot of listeners ask me that, and I know you lived outside the United States for a very long time now because of globalist hunting Obi-Wan Kenobi around. And we'll get your take on that on the other side. Bob Chapman's our guest. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm ready for it.
I'm right down the road from LaGrange or the ranch.
But now I might be.
Let's go ahead and go back to Bob Chapman. Bob, as the United States continues to implode, obviously the same global system is unfolding everywhere. But from your research, so I get these questions all the time. Where are some of the better places to move to or expatriate to, in your opinion?
Well, Europe's expensive, even by U.S. standards. The weather is poor most of the year. You might get 1-2 months of summer, and that's it. Canada's an opportunity. I do see people immigrating away from Australia, which really surprised me, but people immigrating into New Zealand. In South Central America and Mexico, there's been a tremendous amount of changes in the governments, particularly in South America. And most of them are communists, with the exception of Argentina, which is a fascist government, which now will only let you retire approximately 2/3 of your assets from the country. You'd have to leave 1/3 there, which is not a very good idea if you wanted to leave. And so what does that leave in South America? It leaves Chile, perhaps Colombia, which is very close to the United States. They work very closely with them, let's put it that way. Panama's not bad. Costa Rica's nice. Nicaragua's another communist country. Mexico, you do along the frontera and in the south, and also in Culiacan, you have violence. And that's because of the war that's been going on for 5 years. Between the government and the narcotraficantes. And so it's a mixed bag. You got to pick out a spot where you think you'd like to go that's relatively safe. Some countries will make you, allow you to work, some won't. It all depends on your profession. That's basically it. The best ones are probably Canada, Australia, Chile, Costa Rica, and Mexico.
But undoubtedly, Australia and New Zealand are part of the whole globalist echelon group, as I call them,
and Canada.
And you're kind of jumping out of the fire into the frying pan. But I guess the United States is command-based central of the global imperium's army, and it's where there's going to be a big political fight between liberty lovers and the New World Order. But if you want to be where the fight's going to be, if both intellectually and perhaps physically, this is ground zero. Do you agree with that analysis?
Absolutely. If you're young and healthy in particular, and you have a family, you're not going to be able to jump to another country and just go to work. They don't allow that. And so you're going to stay there and you're going to fight. And people like me who have been forced out of the country, as old as I am, I'll be back.
That's right. I mean, they tried to plant hand grenades on you, everything. It just went on for decades, and you finally left. But how long have you been out of the U.S., Bob?
This time, 9 years.
And of course, before that, you lived all over the world in business.
Well, yeah, but I lived in so many countries, I can't keep track of them all. And I lived there for a year or two or three. I mean, like in Africa, I was there for over 3 years. And Canada, I was there for a year. The Bahamas, I was there for a year. Uruguay, maybe 2 years. And so on and so forth.
How is Latin America?
I get a taste of what it's like.
Yeah. How has Latin America changed since you first visited?
It's become more Americanized. And the standard of living has really been raised big throughout Latin America and Mexico.
That's a good thing.
They've come a long way. There's no giant reason for people to leave most of the countries in that region and go to America now, because there are lots of jobs. Mexico City is booming. Some of the countries are doing very well.
Venezuela, not so much, though, with the commie running it.
No, but that's what you have to expect when you have communism. And you got it in Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, as I mentioned, Nicaragua. Right on the edge is Brazil. They're not fooling anybody. And then you've got a fascist government in Argentina, which is loaded with crime. I saw a holdup at the airport. And
stay there. I want to hear about this, and then I want to get into this next clip from the makers of The Matrix, from V for Vendetta, dealing with government-sponsored terror, and a bunch of other financial news and some calls, all jam-packed.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right. I'm going to go to Jeff, Tommy, Erica, Chris, Leo, at least before this hour ends. Bob Chapman is our guest, and I got him diverted off into his world travels. I want to get into the economy in Iran with him before I get to this next clip in your calls. But, Bob, you got interrupted by the end of that segment. You were saying you saw a stick-up. Repeat where you saw that and where you see the most outrageous crime. My dad was in Paraguay a few times a year. He goes to Latin America and places. You know, most dentists and doctors get recruited for this, and he goes and does clinics in the jungle and stuff with starving children. He says it'll really make you appreciate life, you know, going where, you know, they tell you don't give a child a balloon or anything because other kids and people will kill them for it. You know, the jealousy is so out of control. People dumping their kids everywhere. But he was down in Paraguay for about a week and a half and working most days long hours doing free dental work and other things at clinics and as part of a foundation that he went with. But then one day they said, well, take off this afternoon. We're going to take you to a national soccer game. And my dad told me about this, and I was at his house a month ago, and I pulled it up on my iPhone. There it was. He just got back from Paraguay. They threw a stick of dynamite down at the referee and blew him and one other person up, almost killing both of them. And my dad was like 60 feet from this happening. So talk about bedlam. I know my uncle was in Guatemala back in the 80s, living down there with a coffee plantation he had. And you know, they talked about hand grenades being thrown at the market on a routine basis. So finish your story.
Well, we were across the street, about 60 feet away, and this man walks up to a couple, and I see the man take his wallet out and hand it to the other guy. The guy, I could see his gun. He stuck the gun back in his belt, buttoned his jacket, and just walked off. There were no police around. And inside the airport, there were no police either. And the only police I saw them when you go through the them checking your baggage, that sort of thing. But there's streets there in Buenos Aires that you just can't go down during the daytime, never mind at night. And that's if you're armed. I mean, if you're unarmed, your goose is cooked. And you got to learn those things living there so that you don't happen to go down the wrong street.
And what's the prerequisite of all these nations? They've never had a Second Amendment, and so only the criminal government and the criminals are armed, and it's a living hell.
Well, it varies from state to state. You take Mexico as an example. You can go to the military, sign up, and purchase a gun from them, and you can carry it with you. You can have it in your house. If you carry it with you, you can't have the bullets in the gun. So you buy an automatic. It has to be lower in caliber than or the same as what the military is carrying, and they carry a 9mm. And so you can use a .357 and or something like that in an automatic.
From what I've read, though, Mexico has almost a complete gun ban for the citizens. I know there are hoops you can jump through to get a gun, and you basically get registered with them. But
it's easy. There's not hoops. It's easy.
Oh, wow.
All you have to do is go to the military and show them your voting card and your driver's license and who you are. And you can buy a shotgun and a rifle, but they can't be a caliber that's in excess of what military has.
That must have changed recently then because of the bedlam. Because from what I've read just in fact book stuff is that they pretty much have no Second Amendment. But that's good news.
Well, I just happen to know that because I know somebody who worked in the military and he was in the Army. And he handled that. That's how I know about it.
Yeah, well, there's this claim.
Other nations like Costa Rica, you can have a gun. I mean, I've been in and I lived there for a long time. I went in the market downtown in San Jose, and I'm just going through. It's like a tianguis, which is a flea market. And there's one counter. The other is four or five guns for sale. No registration, no nothing.
Well, that's a big plus. I know a lot of those countries, though, do restrict the citizens having guns.
That's right, because usually they're quasi-dictators. And that's the mindset. I mean, even the legal elections, they have that same view on the people as they do in London and Washington.
Now, Bob,
it varies by degree.
Bob, I want to move now into the economy. MF Global may not be able to pay clients back, but let's skip that because I already covered that with Gerald Celente. What do you make of the credit ratings being dropped in other European countries, the latest economic numbers we've got here in the United States?
Well, we've been waiting for France to be lowered, and that affects the EFSF, which is a funding mechanism, the ESM, which they're trying to get passed, which is another funding mechanism, which will probably supersede the EFSF. But what they did is they had the Federal Reserve do a swap. And the swap is a technical thing where we'll give you $1 trillion worth of dollars and you give us $1 trillion worth of euros. And everything goes down on a digital basis. Now, the reason they did this, and they actually broke the law in the United States as well as in Europe, because they're not supposed to do that because it's a loan by any other name. And so with that said, in the fractional banking system, these 523 banks that took that money down, they can multiply that by 9 or more if they choose. So in essence, what the Fed did is not only give them $1 trillion to play around with, they really gave them $10 trillion or more. And that's going to affect the U.S. markets and the British markets as well, because there are those who still don't trust the system in Europe, which is the euro. And they've already started buying U.S. treasuries because they deem them safer than the euro at this time. And so you're getting money moving from one place to the other. So what does that mean to the United States? it means that the economy will probably grow more in the United States this year than anybody had anticipated. What are we talking about? Well, I thought it would be -1.5% in disaster. With this money being let loose, it's going to probably be a +1.5% or 2%. And that is going to be very surprising to people because they didn't figure on this and they didn't know about it. I didn't know they were going to do that.
Yeah, they have a lot of curveballs they can throw. So let's think about curveballs. Obviously, they can launch a war with Iran for the election as an October surprise, Obama and all of his sheep-like followers. And they can also do some other hanky-panky economically to jumpstart things for a while. What else, Bob?
Well, I think this business of the French being lowered is only one of two. They'll be lowered again this year. They did not lower any of the German banks, nor Ireland for that matter. And so that's why they came out with this money exchange at this time, because they knew that Europe could not handle it, and they're never going to be able to handle it. And so this will, in fact, Jamie Dimon yesterday, who's the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, said exactly the same thing I'm saying now. And he said, they'll take care of him for a year, maybe a little longer. I've been saying the same thing for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but, so is this a form of a haircut for the banksters?
What's that?
I mean, how does this affect the banksters then?
Oh, this is good for them.
So it's not a haircut.
They're able to make loans and make more money because they're buying money over in Europe, paying 1%.
Sure.
And then if they deposit it with the European Central Bank, they get 0.25%.
So who does it hurt then? Everybody who's on fixed incomes with the inflationary result?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only over there, but the United States, because a lot of that money is going to drift into the U.S. market. See, these are things that most people don't think about. Jamie Dimon does because he runs a bank. Well, I think like the banker because I know where he's coming from. And that's the advantage of having the experience I've had in those markets, being able to tell what's important to these people and why they're doing what they're doing.
Now, Bob, I want to talk about Iran here in a moment after we go to this short clip. But I want to discuss after Iran false flag events, because the top Israeli intelligence officers come out and said Pearl Harbor style attack will be pretext for war on Iran. Jerusalem Post article implies U.S. will stage provocation to justify military assault. Because of the fact that we've exposed false flags, provocateur events, frame-ups, self-inflicted wounds, inside jobs, that's now entered the nomenclature out there. And so that damages the tool, but it's still such a good tool for governments. I want to get your take on whether or not they'll use it. But I just wanted to use an example from popular culture here. This is from the movie V for Vendetta, where the detectives who are outside of the internal security police are going to meet with a doctor who was at this prison camp where they were doing medical experiments to find out why everybody involved in it is being killed by the hero V. And of course, really, the doctor's been dead for a while anyways. It's V dressed up like the doctor. But here they are discussing a fictional false flag. The reason I use a fictional false flag to illustrate real false flags, a lot of people have walls built in their minds where they can't discuss a real false flag like Gulf of Tonkin or 9/11 or Operation Ajax because there's too much emotion involved. But if it's in a movie, you can understand how the government stages an event to not just create fear, but also make money on the cure. And that's undoubtedly where all this is going with the New York Times article, Engineer Doomsday, with all these airborne pathogens, bird flu, mouse pox, swine flu, that kill over 90% of those that come in contact with it. And the government's ordering this brood up by the thousands of gallons all over the country. And it's not because they want to play patty cake, folks. So let's go ahead and go to this clip. Here it is.
Our story begins, as these stories often do, with a young up-and-coming politician. He's a deeply religious man and a member of the Conservative Party. He's completely single-minded and has no regard for the political process. The more power he attains, the more obvious his zealotry, and the more aggressive his supporters become. Eventually, his party launches a special project in the name of national security. At first, it's believed to be a search for biological weapons, and it's pursued without regard to its cost. However, the true goal of this project is power, complete and total hegemonic domination. The project, however, ends violently. But the efforts of those involved are not in vain, for a new ability to wage war is born from the blood of one of the victims. Imagine a virus, the most terrifying virus you can, and then imagine that you and you alone have the cure. But if your ultimate goal is power, how best to use such a weapon? It's at this point in our story that along comes a spider. He is a man seemingly without a conscience, for whom the ends always justify the means, and it is he who suggests that their target should not be an enemy of the country, but rather the country itself. Three targets are chosen to maximize the effect of the attack: a school, a tube station, and a water treatment plant. Several hundred die within the first few weeks.
That Three Waters has, in fact, been contaminated.
Authorities are attempting to control its deadly spread.
Sent a wave of destruction throughout the underground.
Fueled by the media, fear and panic spread quickly, fracturing and dividing the country until at last the true goal comes into view. Before the St. Mary's crisis, no one would have predicted the results of the election that year, no one. And then not long after the election, lo and behold, a miracle. Some believed it was the work of God himself, but it was a pharmaceutical company controlled by certain party members that made them all obscenely rich. A year later, several extremists are tried, found guilty and executed, while a memorial is built to canonize their victims. But the end result, the true genius of the plan, was the fear. Fear became the ultimate tool of this government, and through it, our politician was ultimately appointed to the newly created position of High Chancellor. The rest, as they say, is history.
Now, there it is from a movie, but Bob, what do you make of all these reports that we talked about a decade ago, but now are admitted, where they're producing, according to the Baltimore Sun, thousands of gallons at 36 facilities across the country of every airborne weaponized mega death weapon you could ever imagine? Ebola, mousepox, multiple flus, and then admitting it. And they're just sitting there on and obviously they're thinking about releasing it and blaming it on Al-Qaeda or other affiliated imaginary mythical Easter Bunny groups. I mean, you can see what they're getting ready for, Bob.
Well, it's total war. And that would take the population down considerably. And it would also put people in a position, even if they wanted to, because of their illnesses, even if they didn't die, to be able to challenge whatever authority was in place. And so, you know, I can see them doing such things as diabolical as they are.
Yeah, well, listen, folks, there's a very good chance, whether it's this year or 10 years from now, I've read all the eugenics documents, the globalist proof of what they're planning, all the preconditioning. I'm telling you that they're planning to do this. It's in the cards. Well, when will they play the card? I don't know. But this is their big ace in the hole. And so just remember out there, some of you, if we don't turn this around now, when you lose your family or whatever, just remember who really did it. And remember, I warned you, the wages of not waking up is death. Bob Chapman.
That is a cold, hard fact. And if we do not get Ron Paul in office, we can expect those kind of things are going to happen, along with a lot of other terrible things. And so that's our job. This is the last shot of doing everything legally, because after that, everything is going to degenerate. Is there going to be a war? Of course. When? I don't think anybody knows.
Well,
we see them playing games with their big ships now, and we've seen the banking system shut off to Iran. We've seen their clients who buy oil from them. being told that they can't use their oil. That's warfare.
Yeah, I mean, it's on. I mean, it's on. And then we're still having a debate about whether a war has already started when they're admittedly blowing up bases inside Iran, Bob.
That's right. And they have the temerity to blow up people in the middle of the city, scientists who are working on the nuclear project just a couple of days ago.
Off the charts, I insane. Mean, stay there, Bob. We got to come back with calls in the next two segments. We'll do 5 minutes of overdrive today. But I've studied the thing. Well, I'll tell you about when we get back. No, they want us to keep on fussing and fighting.
All they want us to do is keep on fussing and fighting.
I have studied the whole infrastructure of the globalists, their quotes, their plans, their whole world government. I mean, they say, we had Aaron in here a couple days ago reading the quotes, that once the world government's in place, they're going to release weaponized Ebola and mousepox and kill all of us. I mean, they've got underground bunkers everywhere, seed vaults. They're screwing up all the major seed lines with GMO. And they're producing all this weaponized garbage and having it in level two facilities everywhere. And it's not for defense. They admit it's offensive. While they parade around trying to shoot us up with deadly vaccines that already have soft kills in them. But they're moving out of the just giving us cancer and everything. They're moving into just felling everybody. I mean, with mousepox, you're talking about 99% kill rate. Airborne Ebola, 94, 95. This H1N1 garbage, your weaponized bird flu, 91, 92. I mean, you're talking about 9 out of 10 people on your street dead. And you're talking about psycho killers who'll do it. They want to move into a new system. And the whole time they're killing everybody, they're going to be on TV posing as the saviors. And, of course, then they'll roll out with the little minions and give them the vaccines that actually cure them. And all the rest of us will just get death. And even those that do get the other shot is going to have a sterile in it. Bob Chapman, do you think this is a nightmare vision I'm putting out? Or from your research, is it accurate as one of the cards in their fist?
It's certainly accurate. And these plans go back to during World War II and then afterward. And what they found out from their allies as well as enemies. Of these kinds of things to deal with people. This has been an ongoing thing. It's diabolical. When I was involved, I never got involved in anything like that. So I only learned what I learned recently, and you know, in the last 20 years, so to speak.
Yeah, you mean when you were in intelligence. Let's jam in a few.
I was in a different area.
Let's go to Jeff in North Carolina. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Call seems like a North Carolina day. I know you're going to close out the show here, so I'll try to go quick and get your opinion on a couple of things. Again, thanks, guys, and thanks for everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
I know, just want to real quick, I've been in the media for quite some time and have been doing quite a bit, as much as I can, given the resources and the time I have as well to combat the delusions descending upon humanity. But real quick, on the Andy Griffith Show, there was an episode years ago where I think the president was coming through Mayberry, and I distinctly remember there's a shot of a guy standing on the sidewalk in downtown Mayberry kind of protesting, and he's holding up a big sign, and it either says down with the gold standard or no to the gold standard. So I just thought I'd bring that point up real quick. But
So a little propaganda against gold. Oh, no, undoubtedly there was some in there as well. Talking to one of my guys who shows it to his kids, and he says, yeah, it's one of the better shows, but it's got propaganda in it as well. Do you have any questions or comments for myself or Bob?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, both, if you ever heard of capstone concept for joint operations?
The capstone concept, I mean, is that unified command?
Yeah, it's a COG, and basically it's a government document you can find on the Internet, and it's capstone, as in the capstone over the pyramid on the back of the dollar. But it's the plan of how they're going to subvert the American people and trick them into accepting militarization of the streets of America.
No, I haven't seen that. What do I Google? Capstone COG?
Just capstone concept for joint operations, and you'll find
guys,
it.
Capstone concept for joint operations. capstone concept for joint operations. We'll look into that. Thank you so much. We're gonna get Bob's brief take on that. The main show's over, but we're audio stream and video stream at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to come back for five more minutes, get Bob's take on that. Take a call or two from folks that have been holding the longest, Erica and others. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Okay, final segment, little addendum of overdrive here. I'm trying to get to your calls, but Bob had so many great points and all those clips. Erica in Oklahoma, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Alex. I wanted to ask you about, you'd mentioned something about prescriptions and shots. Like, I got a call from the Center of Disease Control, and they sent me all this stuff in the mail. They want to know if my child's up to date on shots.
Yeah, there's massive harassment by the feds of just everybody trying to force hundreds of new shots on people. And you go to the grocery store, there's signs everywhere. You go to the drugstore, they're in your face pushing it on you. Because people are waking up statistically to the vaccine, so now they're upping the propaganda. Bob, you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I understand that some of the stores are giving discounts if you'll take shots.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because they care about you, Bob.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
And they'd love to give me some shots, probably 45s. But, the people are waking up to it. There's absolutely no question. And they're having to shove it down people's throats. And that's, you know, what this young lady has received here is really unusual. There's a great deal of work and cost that goes.
Well, I did see it about a couple months ago, actually. It is new news, but in fact, guys, type it in real fast. Centers for Disease Control now is going to people's houses, not just sending a mail, and then they're funding locals to do it as well and, like, demanding you take shots. A few months ago, I played a news clip where they come to the door and they say, "We're here to shoot your daughter up," and the lady tells them where they can go. But, man, they're just trying to trick you into filling that out. I would put that in the circular, or you could scan it in and email it to tips@infowars.com, and we'll do an article on it. I mean, it's already out there, but it's always good to see the document.
I told them that I just lied and told them I didn't have any children here because I refuse to give my children shots if they don't need them.
All right, ma'am, I'm not going to tell you what to do, and I'm not going to say you're wrong, but it's best to never lie. You don't have to answer government questions, and it's just best... It's just best to never even, you know, in fact, you never filled anything out. Nothing ever even happened. I mean, I would not fill anything out of these miscreant scum. Okay, just want to make sure your daughter gets cancer or your son gets cancer. I mean, and they use taxpayer money to pay for it. I mean, look, I've had census at my door saying, "You'll tell me about your stocks and bonds and your toilet." You know, I got the long form and I said, "You will get off my front porch or I'm going to remove you." I'm not, and they said, "Well, this is against the law." And I said, "No, it's not, scumbag. It's called the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. Now get off my porch." They're trying to peck at us until we submit. Hey, we're going to stick our hands down your pants at the airport. Hey, you're going to fill out all these forms for us. No, they're a bunch of trash. You see what I'm saying, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
I appreciate your call. Yeah. Back it up right here. Back it up. They actually found the clip. Turn the audio up. They found it. Here it is from the Infowars.com article with the video from the local news in California. Here it is.
Bring the Tdap vaccine to meet a new state mandate. News 10's Natalie Sens tagged along and has our story.
Hello, how are you, ma'am?
Hi.
My name's Heyman Matlock. I'm with the Thomas Unified School District.
It's not easy going door to door, making sure students are vaccinated.
Your daughter is on independent study.
Yes.
Kayla, has she been verified with her Tdap?
No.
Okay. We were coming today to give her a Tdap if she hasn't had it done yet.
Now look, that's everything. That's total color of law saying it's a mandate, which isn't a law. It's like, we're control freaks, we say so. But now they passed a law where they give your shot, your child the shot without even telling you at home. It's just California is a Soviet empire, Nazi-loving, scumbag, criminal, destroyed area. But Bob Chapman, final comments on that.
You spent 36 years there and I escaped in 1994. And you're absolutely correct.
But I mean, Bob, it's total color of law. They just show up and say, "We're going to give her a shot," and try to go in the house. There's no law. It's just, it's pure con artist. Bob Chapman, Lord willing, we'll see you
they
back.
They don't love us anymore, that's for sure.
Oh, they care about us, Bob. Bob, it was great having you on with us, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Gotcha. Bye-bye.
See you next Friday. All right, see you back this Sunday, listeners, 4 to 6.